All right, I'd like to call to order the Administrative Control Board meeting for Mountain Regional Water. It's February 20th, 2025 at 6 o'clock. Do we have any public?
No public attendees. No?
Okay. Do we need to go into executive session?
We do not.
Great. Okay, then let's move on to the consent agenda. Does anyone have any comments on the January 16th minutes?
Nope.
Does anyone have any questions on the check register?
I did not. Well, no.
I had a couple. We had a check to LRE Water for Atkinson Well Number 2. And it was for the pilot study and the project for just over $10,000. Is that the project or is that just the engineering and the?
So LRE is the hydrogeologist that's helping us prepare the pilot study to rehabilitate Atkinson Well 2.
Okay.
Yep. So it's kind of all the academic and paperwork ahead of actually completing the pilot test.
Gotcha.
Physically being able to do something.
Okay. And then I also had a question on, I guess my other question was on the purchase order. Did anyone, Ian, did you have any questions on the?
Sure.
Oh.
Do you like spicy?
I'm being let down that my dinner's not here.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
First up, I have a plow stack. And then, yeah.
I have total extra. I have extras here.
Yeah, I do too. Really? I got.
I'll just take this cup. That's fine.
And kung pao
chicken. What do
you want? Kung pao? Yeah. Totally. What's interesting? There's brown, white, fried. White. Awesome.
Thank you. Did you have any questions on the check register? Yeah, I had a follow on that
LRE one. Okay.
How much more work do they have on that? Because I saw in your report, we just got kind of permission that the pilot's going to move forward, hopefully.
Yeah. We're in a little bit of a holding pattern, but where LRE's scope to help us through the entire pilot stages this next year. So we'll see how much of the budget we actually utilize, but I think we're in a good spot.
What's the total budget?
$36,000.
And you'll go for helping us with a well site.
Okay.
Potential well site.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Inside that same scope.
Is that a separate scope or is it the same?
Technically a separate scope, but there are similar timelines. So that was completed with the well siting study. Then we kind of did phase one of this ASR effort, which was a lot of the water chemistry and the reports preparation before we actually submit to the Division of Water Rights and Division of Water Quality. And now those submissions actually happened. And that $10,000 figure is the remaining amount of the 2024 scope. So moving forward, we'll be on the 2025 $36,000 scope.
All right.
To get us through the pilot program.
I think I got it.
Okay.
Thank you. Open for other ones?
My only other question was on the Jacobs PO. Does anyone have any other questions on the check register? And then we can move on to the purchase order.
I do on check register.
Okay.
Remind me, how much is a battery meter? How much is each one?
Five.
So you ordered a big set of them.
Yeah, we ordered a big set.
That's fine. I was just wondering, like, ballpark. What we were talking about. The United Rentals road plates, we buy those or is that a rental?
We bought them.
Okay. So we bought them from United Rentals.
Yeah.
Are they used or?
I don't think so. I don't know.
It's across United Rentals.
Yeah, they're one of the few places that actually carry them. You just buy them from them, you know?
Yeah. Right on. And then we bought $1,000 of gloves. What kind of gloves were those?
So we carry a stash of gloves anybody can use. They're usually leather, right. Lined, unlined. We go through those quite a bit.
And then PR Diamond products, the guide bar, and starter cover guide bar thing. What were
that's,
those?
That's our saw that we used to cut the road. And then so it's just parts on the actual cutter part.
It's got a cool name.
Yeah.
And then here, two more. So we got some embroidered apparel for the employees. That sounds fun. Well done. And then kudos to Jessica for getting us a $66 refund on the Flash Mix nozzle. How does that work?
I think it was just tax. Probably. Yeah, she did the
tax. Oh, it's not like some sort of like special thing. It's just that we don't pay taxes. She got that.
Probably, right. Yeah. Guessing.
Good job getting that. Okay, and then after that, I just have PO questions, but you have them first.
Can I go back to your Badger question? Are you asking about the $4,000?
It was like 5,000.756 for the meters and then 1,260 for the adapters.
Okay, because that $4,800 is just a recurring monthly cellular charge that we have.
Oh, no, I think this was for meters themselves.
Purchase.
And adapters, I think, from Hydro Specialties.
Yeah, so that's a meter purchase.
Yeah, I was just wondering what the cumulative cost is each one. I think I've asked it before.
The three quarters are like $122.
Okay.
And then the cables for. They're almost as much.
Yeah. Cool. Go ahead and check register.
Okay. Then questions on the purchase orders.
What is the Aqua Engineering one?
Community water tank. And I had a question if that was in the CIP or in that initial assessment.
Sorry to cut you off, Mike. Yeah. That's fine. On the second part, no, it was not in the initial assessment for the community water annexation. Right. And I already forgot the first part of your question. I'm sorry.
Was it in the CIP?
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it is in the CIP. So there were originally two steel tanks, well, as part of the community water project. The larger one of the two that's downhill failed, was that during or after the annexation, Brian?
Before.
It was before.
Several years before.
Yeah, so it failed prior to annexation. And we've been keeping an eye on the remaining tank with annual inspections, and Brian's been doing a good job. Making sure we don't put ourselves in a bad spot, but I think it's deteriorated to the point that it's probably not an acceptable risk because that tank is required to keep some of the Vail lodges in water that we serve as a wholesale customer. So it's in the CIP. We're looking to design this year and potentially construct next year.
Okay, sounds good.
What do we anticipate construction going to be? It's a steel tank?
Yeah, so we...
Sorry, took
I think we're going to hit quotes on both.
Yeah, we have to make an evaluation whether we're going to concrete or steel, and that's part of this scope and discussions with the Aqua folks. And then the other thing that happened is, in my head, when I was budgeting and putting a cost estimate together in the CIP for the tank, I was just kind of stuck in replacing it in kind, so replacing the 240,000-gallon tank with a 240,000-gallon tank. But I think that probably would be short-sighted and to not upsize if we have the opportunity with the space. So our cost estimate in the CIP is probably not a great one, which is that's my fault. So we don't have a great cost estimate. I would say between $1 and $2 million, much closer to a million probably, if it was steel.
Can we use impact fees for that?
Nope, I don't think that one's impact fee eligible because it's not an IFFP.
Okay.
Ian, just to go back again to clarify the badger, that was 1/6-inch meter. And the cellular connection, that $5,000.
Wow. Some of them are a lot more.
Larger
than that. The typical residential is like $100. Okay, cool. That's really interesting. Thank you.
But yeah, this is just the design for the tank, of course. It'll get worked into the budget for next year when we get a good construction cost. And, those numbers will be handed off to Steve, hopefully July-ish timeframe, so he can help build the budget around that and decide when and if we can move forward with construction.
Did anyone else have any questions on the purchase orders?
I had another question on the promontory upgrade to 12-inch. What was the initial size that we're paying the difference on? I didn't see that in there.
Yeah, so I guess at the point where the upsize or betterment starts, at that point, promontory would only need to install an 8-inch water line to serve the residential neighborhood. And that's getting to the point where it becomes no longer a transmission line and fire flow is the controlling factor in determining the water line size. So as soon as they no longer need a larger line and they downsize from 12, that's where the betterment or upsize would start. So if we didn't request a betterment, it would be an 8-inch water line. And in addition to an upsize, it's also an extension. So there's also a portion of the water line that's being extended to Browns Canyon Road. And so, yeah, it's two parts, extension and an upsize.
Okay.
And that one is an IFFP and has been since 2019.
I actually had a question on the third one. When you read through the contract, it looks like part of it was $137,000, and that must have been task one. And then, I assume that the $119,000 is that task two through six.
Let me see. Oh, the $137,000 number was the 2024 budget. And then the 119 number is the 2025 budget. And now you're kind of making me wonder if there's an error how the tasks are labeled, if you were confused by it.
Because the new one's labeled phase two.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
But the first one for 24, the 138.
Yeah, that's the phase one word.
Like, I think the 138 might be the last page.
That was 24. Yeah, that's.
Yeah.
That's, I think.
Yeah, so it looks like, I don't see a date on here, but yeah, this is the 2024 PO. Maybe it's included for reference.
Oops. It's 2/8/24, that purchase number.
Oh, yeah, there you go, February last year.
Okay, so, but that's for a different part of the work, or?
Already completed.
The stuff that's already completed.
The past year, yep.
And so this is for the 2025 work.
Yep, so the, oh, gotcha. The 2025 okay. Work fees are summarized on this page, totally into the 119 number you pointed out, Karen. And then the scope, the actual work associated with that figure is outlined in the document and kind of summarized in the front end here. Broken down as six tasks.
Okay.
So just a tiny bit of background, just the general idea with this Jacob's work is just continue support building our asset management program. We always, when we brought him on, we kind of envisioned a three-year kind of program, a larger investment the first year, and then kind of tapering as we went, that $100,000 to $200,000 range. So
what does the final program look like as far as how you guys interface with it? Is it going into your GIS or is it?
Yeah, so it's going to be multifaceted. The huge lift we're working on right now is getting our EAM solution or asset management software up and running. So that's OpenGov. It's an equivalent to the CityWorks product you guys use. It's
right.
That's going to be a big part of the program. But there's obviously going to be work taking part of outside of just that single piece of software. We're going to have it set up so the GIS continues to be the actual record of the system. Mm-hmm. And then OpenGov and all the software will piggyback off that as a data record to create work orders, score conditions, assets, criticality, make decisions about capital investments.
Okay.
Hopefully everything all rolls together and ultimately gets us better capital improvement plans. That's my, like, you know, obviously I'm biased on what I want to use the tool for the most.
Right.
Well, that's what Jess and Sam have been spending this week with different people from different departments coming up with a homework assignment. We'll by the end of March start putting all together. Interfacing, so Jess and Kate and Sam are taking
that. Yeah, but the goal with the Jacobs folks, again, is kind of set us up, get us best practices, you know, education piece. It's a lot of work, obviously, too, but we're not looking to contract with Jacobs annually indefinitely to run the program. The idea is that gets passed off to us, you know. So, you know, we're self-sufficient.
We're running the program. We're not doing any condition assessments with the contractor we are.
No, so
it looks like task six was the asset condition, but I wasn't like, or if that was actually going out surveying the district, or if that was...
There's no outside support from Jacob intentionally.
Okay.
To actually do a field survey, for example. Yeah. We'd like to, you know, from a budget perspective, and we think we can do it, keep that in. As far as the methodology and the foundation to even complete a survey, like how are we going to define criticality? How are we going to use our data? How are our assets organized? We're starting from ground zero. We've never thought about any of that stuff as part of a formal asset management program. So all these things are also foundational or need to be set up to feed into our asset management software, our EAM solution. So we're trying to stagger the work where we have a big lift with our EAM folks. That's the OpenGov software. You guys might hear that a lot. And then we'll be able to free up time for folks to, you know, work on more academic or, you know, pieces that get fed with Jacobs, and we're trying to stagger it throughout the year. So we have a good product, or at least go live with part of the feature at the end of the year. November this year is the goal.
Great. Does anyone have any other questions on the purchase orders?
No.
Would anyone like to make a motion to approve the consent agenda?
Motion to approve the consent agenda as discussed.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, that's unanimous. And now Caden is going to dazzle us with your presentation of geographic information systems.
Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Hi, guys. Sorry I couldn't be there in person. Can I share my screen, Sam?
Yeah, do you need me to stop to take over?
It just says replace current share. I think it'll let me do it. Can you guys see my screen?
One second.
Should be my email currently.
Yep.
All right, so I just want to give a quick overview. I can't remember the last time I presented to you guys. It's been a while, but kind of the focus of the last year at least was data completeness and data quality. So that kind of started in earnest in the summer with getting out and collecting missing data such as meters and hydrants and verifying digitized assets such as valves and hydrants and PRVs and stuff. And so that was done over the summer, and I feel like we did a lot meter wise. Here was our state of our meters before we collected. It was a lot in Promontory, and kind of here's the state after. 959 meters collected in Promontory. I couldn't find four of them. 991 total collected over the summer. 468 valves were kind of verified or found, 73 PRVs, 119 service valves, and 95 fire hydrants. So that's just kind of just what we could get done over the summer and just kind of helping with the data completeness aspect. And then on the kind of quality aspect, there's nothing really to show for that, but just taking our historical as-built and kind of verifying as-built dates or verifying install dates or at least as-built dates to get us a close install date, just kind of to help bring the data, you know, get the data better. So as we transition it into the asset management product, you know, we have good stuff to start doing some of that criticality or condition assessment, such as the age of stuff, you know, and stuff like that. So that was kind of the big push over the summer, and it's still going on right now. It's just office work, kind of verifying this stuff. I took a bunch of notes over the summer to verify that's, you know, of other things on the system. And yeah, so that's kind of one of the big kind of updates. The other thing we did over the summer was we finished our lead service line inventory. Thanks, Sam. Sam was a big help. Anna and the customer service team was a big help on that as well. We have a public facing app that I think is on our website, Anna. I'm not sure if I got you the link or not, but it will be on the website. That citizens can come and they can search their address and and I'll take it to them and they can show them kind of, I mean, we have no lead, so it's just going to give them the information, but it is available for the public. And we did do our field verifications, and there's some new stuff coming out, like testing and stuff that Esri has updated for, like updated the solution for like future sampling and stuff, which we'll take advantage of when we need it this next summer. I've talked with Stacy and stuff already and Jess about it. So I think that's good. And then kind of the other, thing that's really changed and is changing again, it continues to change, is our blue stakes thing. I'm sure you guys are aware of the problem we had with our marks and stuff getting, you know, removed and stuff. So we've implemented a kind of workaround in our current solution, which is requiring photos to be taken. It's not super granular, like we can't do it case by case, so it's not perfect, but we are going to be switching this blue stakes into OpenGov, and so hopefully that'll be a little more granularity. But I did want to show, that we are now on tickets that are marked anything but no conflict. We are taking photos so that we just have record of the line being out there at a certain time in case anything does happen. Really, the other things that are changing them, I mean, there might be some changes coming, you know, as we've gotten into this asset management thing, we've kind of been, you know, some things have come to light about kind of data structure and stuff, but nothing that's like, you know, crazy or anything, nothing that would be boring for you guys, but there may be some changes in the structure of the data a little bit and some things coming to kind of facilitate the, you know, transition or the startup of the asset management. But yeah, that was really all I had.
Well, I think you're doing really great work with this. I thought your last presentation was really interesting, and I like that we're moving forward with the new OpenGov system, and it's really important work.
But thanks, and hopefully as you know, this next summer we'll get back out and collect. We're still missing some meters, and you know, I'm brainstorming some ways to get our line work better and more accurate. You know, I want the locational accuracy to be, you know, highest priority, you know, this next year and stuff. So any other questions or anything? Andy, is there anything else you wanted me to talk about?
This is Ian. I've got a question. Are there any portions of the district where we don't have as-builts, or the as-builts are completely wrong, like really poor accuracy for line work?
Not that I've noticed so far. Really my hope is that as I collect the rest of the, you know, on surface assets that we can see and make sure those are all good, that, you know, I can sit down with Brian and Sam and just kind of connect the dots with the lines and make sure that they're accurate in that regard. And, you know, maybe there's a solution, you know, a better way to do it with collecting the data maybe during blue stakes or something. I don't know. I've been thinking about a lot of stuff, so there's, you know.
Ian, if we have a league and we uncover something that is not what we think it's supposed to be, we're shooting it in to get better data depth, pipe class.
So we do have a fair amount of data like that that they collect depth and they collect right where it's at, so that's going to help as well. Kind of same thing, it's kind of help us, we collect enough of those dots, we can kind of pull the lines closer to everything, you know. So
nice.
We
makes sense. Show the hydrants.
Show them like all the hydrants, like a map of them.
Just the grouping of the hydrants, and then how we go through and we service them. Which hydrants we service in the summer?
Yeah. So like we have this summer, we'll complete finally in GIS our full. We've done 3 years worth of fire hydrant data in the system. Like here, we have our inspection and. We collect our details, and we take our photos, and we'll do this one more year in GIS here, and then this will transition over to the OpenGov thing too. But those must be valves. Yeah, I was like, some of this is not showing just hydrants. I was like, most of the hydrants are done. There you go, that's a better. So you can see we've done most of our areas over the last 2 years. God, why is it freaking out? Looks like Summit Park's where we're going to hit this next summer. A little bit of Northridge, Silver Springs. This is what you're thinking, Andy? Like the, I don't know, let me click on this hydrant.
That's really cool.
Can I ask another question? Just
yeah.
Because obviously locations of fire hydrants are now like something every real estate agent has to look up in order for somebody to get insurance. Like, is this going to be publicly available to where?
Yeah. So we do have, that is not on the website. Like, I'm not sure about the lead service line inventory, but similar to the lead service line we have, and I need to add more information, but this is our ArcGIS Online, which is kind of where our more public facing data is. And I do have. App here that I that similar to that they could type in a location, go to the fire hydrant. Right now there's not a ton of information here, but I want to update this with kind of like information from our website, contact info, links and stuff like that. So yeah, they will, and this could be on a phone as well. They could use their actual location. This is going to take you to where I am right now. I'm hugging you guys off and see where I am. At home, but they could, you know, and they could see where it is in relation to them. This was kind of this thought came up. It's been a minute, but when we were, we have HOAs call us to get lists of the fire hydrants that are in the area that they need to uncover. So I definitely need to get with Anna on this. Don't let me forget that, Anna. Maybe I write myself a note. But so, yes, we do have that information and we will make it publicly available. I just want to make sure this we have everything and kind of, I think one of the thoughts, Anna or Brian, was to mark like where the high pressure ones are as well so people know. Private. And so there's some enhancements I can make to this that make it more useful for sure.
Wow, really cool stuff.
All right, well, thanks, guys.
Thanks, Caden.
Thanks,
Caden.
Yeah, thanks, Caden.
It's good. All right. Have a good weekend, guys.
You too.
Bye.
Can't tell if Caden's things are more interesting. We're just talking about the feedbacks. But I think both of them are really topical and like current. All right. So Lisa, you're doing, so is Steve on vacation?
Steve is on vacation.
So he did put the January financial results in there in the packet. I'll just touch on a few highlighted items that were in there. We won't go into a lot of detail. We're basically in positive variances and favorable variances for revenue and expenses. It's early in the year, so January is just, you know, this month, and there'll be a lot of changes from here. But, you know, good so far. The there was a large revenue variance. You'll see that as a compared to last year, 2024. You see the $160,470 in the development-related collections lines. That's almost all attributable to impact fees. So we had Perlis Park Elementary do their impact fee last year. Mm-hmm. That was $115,000. So without that impact fees last year, right around $73,000, we collected $52,000 this year, which is still higher than budget. We had $25,000 budgeted because our total for the year is $600,000. So they're still above budget. So that's good, but really just pointing out that large variance as it related to last year's January number. And then cash really was the other thing that changed. And that again is, Steve said this before, it's the building. We're just drawing down on the construction cash. Go down a little bit further. Yeah, that $1.4 million is for the building. We also fund our capital facility reserve in January. That's 5% of our current operating budget. So that's why the capital facility reserve went up just over $500,000 and our operating cash went down. And let's see, customer growth, nothing too exciting. We're pretty close to the four-year average. Promontory is a little below, but I think nothing too drastic there. Customer usage, you know, we only used 82 acre feet in January. It's a small number compared to our summer numbers, obviously, but it was higher, 79 acre feet last year, 82 acre feet this year. Park City was definitely down, 325 acre feet last year, only 169, or last January, 169 this January. That really is probably what makes up most of the difference in our total for January. And the last slide is just the water sales. You'll see the blue dot, which is 2025, essentially is on, really on the purple dot from last year. You'll remember our tiered rate increases are really more into that higher tiered level. So you won't really see that bump up until we get to the higher usage years, or months, excuse me. And that's it. Any other questions on January results?
No.
And then Steve also put in the semi-annual cash report. This is just a report that we provide to the board, and it's based on the reporting that we do to the state treasurer for every 6 months, December 31st and June 30th. Nothing really different in the cash report. You can see our balances over the last 4 years in the categories have remained largely the same, except for that construction cash, which has gone down as we've used proceeds to pay for the building costs. So any questions on that report?
No.
Okay, that's all I had.
Right. I think we're going to make up for our last month's super long meeting.
Talk slow.
Okay, so consideration and possible approval of changes to job description.
So as we looked at the district over the last little bit, water quality has kind of been all over the place where with no one really in charge. And so the changes to the job descriptions are related to water quality, Sam being at the top of the pyramid and then having different assignments throughout the other job descriptions with the staff engineer, project coordinator, the responsibilities in distribution, and then the treatment plan. So those are the changes that we're recommending. It's
In a lot of ways, it's been functioning that way. But if there was ever a test that we're required to do that didn't happen, there was really no, I mean, other than me, there's no accountability. So this kind of puts that in place.
So it looked like the majority of changes were that we're moving stuff over to the project manager for the water testing, and then the pump or the plant, I don't know if you call it the plant manager also.
Right, and then Sam does a lot of the reporting, Stacy does a lot of the reporting.
It's the project coordinator is going to oversee compliance is kind of... what I saw?
Yes, Daisy, who's the project coordinator, essentially more or less has been managing the compliance sampling program for 8 months or so, and doing it pretty well. That's the biggest change in all the job descriptions. And then, yeah, ultimately with all the compliance programs, if there's an issue, that's ultimately on me. But as far as the heavy lifting and who's actually putting boots on the ground and getting more work done, that's a big change is the project coordinator description, which reflects what's actually happening.
Yep. Makes sense.
But overall, it's minor red line.
It really is. It
didn't take long to roll through that.
It took longer than it should have, but yes.
Oh. It seemed pretty simple on our side, but okay, got it.
I thought it was interesting that some positions have to be able to smell and others don't.
Oh, didn't catch that.
Well, even like during COVID, a lot of the lots are shut to smell, so it could have been like it.
Got real smell chlorine, you know?
Yeah. Oh, is that what it is? You have to be able to smell chlorine.
So those are what I'm recommending for approval for the changes.
Do we need to make a motion tonight?
Yes, please.
Motion to approve changes to job descriptions. Engineer, staff engineer, project coordinator.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, that's unanimous. And you're up, Andy.
So in the packet, for the latest pictures of the shop, administration building, material storage, the trash enclosure, things have moved along really well. The inside of the administration building is being framed out so that you'll see the studs and everything that are on the ground there. They're hoping to get this to a point where they can get it wrapped and get heat in there to start doing more of the work. The big goal right now is to get the shop garage doors on, to get the ground, get the frost out of the ground so they can do the plumbing work, pour the cement, and get that buttoned up. But I don't know if you've been by, if you actually drive kind of down and around, you can get a pretty good view. If anyone wants a tour of going inside the buildings, we're happy to do that for you, but things are moving along. They're still committed to an October 30th delivery date. That's what they're being held to. From the good news is some of these long lead items, the electrical components did show up on site. Those were actually ordered a year ago, and they just showed up. So the good news is the steel and everything, we bought it. We shouldn't see any price changes. On another note, the principal architect that we had been working with and one of the other architects with CRSA are no longer there. So we've transitioned to another architect, and no big hiccups, but just working through the minor things as they come up.
We demand a reduction in the cost for the inconvenience.
We've had discussions. Because, you know, every time we meet, and one of the things I've come to find out is that the builder's contingency really is there for stuff that they miss. And I find that frustrating. And I had a conversation with a new architect who told me, well, we can't expect to get everything right. And I told him, I'm glad you're not my cardiologist. I mean, it just, so whenever there's a change, I really push back. But I don't understand, you know, we pay good money to design this and everything. And I expect, you know, you deliver to what you're telling us. So we're still within budget. There's been no major cost overrun. There's been a couple of small items, but we're still moving along.
It looked like there was a change order on the latest.
So if you remember a couple months ago when we found out that we are not tax exempt when it comes to the building,
so that's bad.
That is what that change order was. But that's still within our building contingency and owner contingency. We're still comfortable with the numbers.
Right.
Several of us are headed down to Rural Water next week. We'll report on that next month. You know, what the snowpack is and other legislative updates.
Well, they keep putting out the snowpack. It looks like it's Southern Utah's having trouble, but we should be okay.
We should be okay this summer, next summer. That if people's behavior doesn't change this summer, next summer will be rough, in my opinion.
Yeah, and it depends on what it does next winter. If we get another one of these kind of average, I guess I'd say, you know, if we get a big dump and then everything's full again. But the reservoirs are in pretty good levels right now. So from the calls that I've been on, there hasn't been any talk, other than in Southern Utah, has had talked about doing drought rates. I mean, they were breaking levels with SWE. I mean, they were down below the lowest levels they've seen for SWE. So, but up here, not as much. So.
This last week has really helped.
Mm-hmm. Great. Great.
We have a meeting with Weber Basin next, or the end of March, to hear there.
Saw an article are we in general conversation now? I saw an article about Weber Basin getting a WIFIA grant 2 days ago.
Yeah, $110 million.
Yep, I had, Scott Paxman had talked to me, I mean, this is like a year ago, and we had talked about that.
Protect bird habitat.
But yeah, they were also exploring funding sources there.
Will we see any of that monies trickle into any of our projects or
that's what we're looking
for. Weber Basin's money?
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
Most of that money is for Willard Bay and that area, from what I understand.
The article I read was very focused more on Florida than Utah. Utah was in the headline, but
yeah, my understanding is we won't see a direct benefit from it.
I think they're getting a new treatment plant in the Florida Keys off of that.
Oh, yeah.
And those dollars.
And Weber Basin is doing 2 new treatment plants. I think a couple new storage tanks.
Got it.
Hopefully they're not painful. That's all I have.
Okay, great. Does anyone have any questions on the department updates?
I've got a couple. Sam, you mentioned we could request to see the conceptual design report.
Oh yeah,
for Signal Hill. Mike, were you interested in that conceptual design report for Signal Hill?
You're muted, Mike. But I saw a no there.
Maybe that or dinner's ready.
No, it seems like that's coming along okay.
All right. I wouldn't mind taking a beat. Cool. Okay. And then my other question, Brian, I noticed we have mainline breaks this month. On mainline breaks, is that something that's going to track the new asset management program? Mm-hmm. Have we been tracking the breaks with enough detail that we can retroactively create statistics on our breaks? Put that into the asset management
tool. Yeah, we could by location. I think we're going to backfill a lot of this kind of stuff in there, but we can do location.
I'm keeping track of locations, what it was, approximate water loss. But the new asset management program, we're going to track, you know, what's going to cost labor-wise and materials and stuff like that also.
Yeah, and then Brian does a great job of records. And then Caden digitizes those currently. So we have our leaks in GIS as a shape file. So I think it'll be a pretty easy lift, actually, to get that data into OpenGov. And then I don't quite know, I haven't thought all the way through how we can best leverage it, but...
We can keep track of it by year, by area. So
we got like 3 or 4 years running so far.
Yeah, we potentially, I mean, this, we can't direct anything, but would it be possible to get some like Mankendall statistical trend analysis done on that? So we actually have some like data with where mainline breaks are. Just from the standpoint that certain members of this board have made comments publicly to the county council that certain aspects of Mountain Regional's district are a hindrance or a problem. I'd like to have some data when we're talking about that moving forward and not speak, in my mind, unprofessionally. So I'd really like to see the hard data, like which portions of the district have the most breaks, what are the costs associated with that, how is it impacting us as a district? So,
yes.
Okay.
My last month's board report for the end year leak total. You know, I did kind of break out some of that stuff, and less than half of our leaks were in some apart. So,
you saw where I was going.
Yep.
And we've used part of that data to do the upper evergreen line replacement, because that one had been problematic for a while. But the Matterhorn line replacement has trumped that, because the county's leading out on that.
Yep.
So if we are trying to use the data to help us decide where to make changes. Or updates.
All right.
Yep. But we can get that for you.
Yeah, that'd be great. So we could, at least some of us could push back on uninformed opinions that are being sent to our county council.
That's fair.
Well,
and it's not fair to compare a 65-year-old system to like a 20-year-old system in Promontory, right? I mean,
well, that's why I made the comment that I think those comments are unprofessional and ill informed.
But it also makes you wonder why on the newer part of the system we're having problems already.
All that damn construction up there.
Right.
Trucks sliding off the road and
taking that hydrant, yeah.
Poor installation.
Like who put that hydrant that's on that big curve and you know, it's just asking to be hit, right?
We had one hit up in Summit Park in Promontory and the Colony this past weekend. One was a hit and run and one we have data.
Couple in Promontory.
Or more than one.
Mm-hmm.
Was it on free corkage night or was it during the day or was it?
I was on a free road. I'm like, I don't know. Maybe it's party that night.
Well, I noticed that you had a great picture of like one of the water leaks. Was, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was a rough night.
Yeah.
That's Kingsford.
Just across the street, yeah.
It's in the top 10, Bray.
Oh, yeah.
Same time.
That was a good one.
It was really cold that night, too. Right?
Oh, yeah. It was below zero that
night.
Yeah,
it was really cold night.
Had a hard time finding valves. They were covered in asphalt, and it was a rough time. We had a rough time shutting that one off.
Brutal.
Lost like 250,000 gallons or something like that.
Wow. I had one other note that in the timeline, the ribbon cutting is on a Saturday.
I think I just put a date in. 11. Oh, I just put November 1st because and it must be Saturday. So I could put, what do we say, 10:30? I just used it. I didn't look at the day. I just had the date.
It will probably be sometime in October, depending on, or I mean, that is when Oakland is supposed to deliver the building. It doesn't mean we'll have occupancy. So that's just a pencil.
Okay.
Placeholder for you, I guess.
And they're both supposed to be done at the same time?
The shop and the admin? The shop may be done before that, ideally.
Yeah, great.
We'll have stuff stored in it. Won't be occupied.
The county will be occupying this on November the 1st.
Yeah.
As a result of that,
so micro operations might be in the shop. Just hang
out. Oh, yeah.
We're not going to occupy it, though. We're just going to hang out.
November board meeting.
All right. Did anyone have any other questions? Would anyone like to make a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn. At 6:50 p.m.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. You're adjourned at 6:50.